Can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Okay, so that's with bacon, cheese, lettuce, tomato, grilled onions, ketchup, and hold the pickles.
You know what you like. You wouldn't order your burger just any way. Why should your sports talk be any different? With Chapters on the free Odyssey app, you can choose the topics that matter to you most.
Whether it's reactions,
matchup previews, injury updates, or team news, quickly find what you really care about. Your football talk, your way. Download the free Odyssey app and start listening today.
It's Mike Shope.
We were having a very serious conversation about mayonnaise here.
And the Bulldog.
And don't even talk to me about weed.
On WGR, Sports Radio 550.
I'd have to get up now, but probably not the worst idea to turn off the Texas Bowl for the Winter Classic. I do love how the Winter Classic tends to look. Wrigley Field, I'm sure it looks great. Uniforms are usually on point. I have this bowl game on. I'm not exactly the ultimate connoisseur when it comes to the bowls, but it's my alma mater-in-law, Baylor. So, all right, let's go. Sick'em. And there's not a lot of sick'em happening here. They're getting sick'emed themselves. 34-14, second quarter, LSU. Yeah, that's not what you want to see. Tonight, Penn State, Boise State, and then three games, the college games tomorrow, of course, traditionally the playoff New Year's Day stuff. Ross Tucker coming up here on the Western Hotline. His appearances on WGR by Hellman's Mayonnaise. May your game day be delicious. You know, I never want to doubt you, Ross. I've got a picture of you at a beach, it appears, with a beer in your hand. I'm like, are we sure? But here you are. Happy New Year.
Yeah, Happy New Year. All of those things that you just said are correct.
you are on
that
a beach.
That is exactly what's going on here. My friend just said, wait a minute, you've been having beers this afternoon, and you're going on the radio at 5 o'clock on New Year's Eve? I said, yeah, yes I am. My guy's in Buffalo, for sure.
Wouldn't miss it. Well, we're flattered, Ross. Happy New Year to you. What have you got going on? Can you say?
Yeah, I have... my family actually came down late last week, but I had to do the Chargers-Patriots game on Saturday. So we're with friends somewhere, parts unknown, in the Bahamas for a few days, which is, I've never done this before, you know, during football season, but I guess it works, right? I can do most of my stuff, all the Ross Tucker podcast stuff. I've been recording in the mornings from the office here in the house we're staying at, and I can fly to my game. It's Texans at Titans on Sunday, so I can fly to that. I thought I might have Bills Patriots, actually, but it didn't work out that way. So, yeah, man, it's awesome. It's very rare, but, you know, I talked to you guys about this before. I miss a lot of family time, So if during the season. So if they are here, and I can come here and join them for several days before going to my next stop, then I'm going to do that. So, yeah, it's been awesome so far. It's a great place and beautiful weather and all that stuff. We're going to have some fun tonight, and you guys are the intermission.
Very cool. Second Bahamas reference of the day. Our guest from earlier, Brad Ryder, is on the UB broadcast team, and they're off to the Bahamas Bowl tomorrow. They'll be there for a few days, too. So you be in Liberty on Saturday morning in the Bahamas, right by you.
Oh, wow. That's awesome.
Yeah. Hopefully, Houston, Tennessee. I mean, like most of Week 18, it doesn't look like much. Buffalo, New England. You've got five or so teams that are in playoff spots that may just take it easy here, including the Rams, it seems, Ross, even though they could move in terms of seeding. This is true of the Steelers, too. We'll see what that looks like Saturday night. But they're an underdog at home to Cincinnati. How do you feel about this? Like, how important is, you know, maybe thinking mostly about the Bills here, but how important is it for a team to be able to basically soft play this game?
Yeah, well, so I think the Bills are in a very different situation, in my mind at least, than the Steelers and the Rams. The Bills are locked in the number two seed. I know Sean McDermott said they're going to play Josh to keep the consecutive streak alive, which I think is phenomenal. You guys know how I feel about Josh Allen as a player and person, and that streak with the way he plays and these reports of a broken hand the whole season. I remember, you know, you could tell he did something to it in that first game against the Cardinals. And after the game, when we interviewed him, he said, "I'll be all right." You know, he didn't say it was nothing. He said, yeah. "I'll be all right." And so I think resting most of the Bills players is the right decision since they don't have a bye. I think, you know, starting Josh for the first series to keep that alive, if that's important to him, which it should be, I think is awesome. But to me, the Steelers and Rams are in very different situations. Yeah, I've seen all these reports about, well, the Steelers, you know, if the Ravens win, then the Steelers game is meaningless. You got to be out of your mind. I mean, to me, there is a very, very large difference. And this is coming from someone that just watched more Texans tape today. In fact, Texans-Ravens, you know, yeah, to get ready for this Sunday. There's a huge difference between being the 5 seed and playing the Houston Texans and the 6 seed and playing the Baltimore Ravens. I think we just saw it on Christmas Day where, you know, the Ravens just totally dominated the Texans. If you're the Steelers, I don't care if you can win the division or not. I think it's critically important that you win that game against the Bengals to try to be the 5 seed. You know, it's been a long time since Mike Tomlin and the Steelers have won a playoff game. And that matters to people in Pittsburgh. It matters a lot. You know, they're probably not going to win the Super Bowl, but winning a playoff game, getting the divisional round, that would be a feather in the cap for Mike Tomlin, and they'd have a heck of a lot better chance of it if they played at Houston than if they played at Baltimore. So I don't understand the comments, questions, concerns about the Steelers playing their guys Saturday night. That makes perfect sense to me. And I think to a little bit of a lesser extent, you could say the same thing about the Rams, right? I mean, you know, if you're the Rams, you're the 3 seed, and right now you're playing the Commanders, that feels like a very, very winnable game for the L.A. Rams at home. If you're the 4 seed and you're hosting either the Lions or the Vikings, whoever loses Sunday night, that's a significantly tougher opponent. So it sounds like Sean McVay has kind of already made his decision, but that surprises me. I do not think I think the Bills playing nobody is the right decision. I think the Steelers playing everybody is the right decision. The Rams, I guess, are the one that it's a little bit more debatable to me, but I think I would still fight really hard to try to get that 3 seed and play the Commanders rather than the loser of the battle for the number 1 seed. I mean, you don't want to play a 14-win team. It sounds like McVay looks at it differently than that.
With Ross Tucker, Insider Calls brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. You can purchase Hellman's at your local Walmart, Kroger, or grocery store to add extra deliciousness and creamy flavor to your game day dishes this football season. Kansas City, I think I heard, and this might be give or take a day depending on the playoff schedule, 25 days between their Christmas game that you did in Pittsburgh and their next, well, their second round game after the bye next week. 11-point underdogs at Denver this week. Wow, the bettors expect the Chiefs to, I don't know, smoke during the game or something. Is there such a thing for you as too much rest?
Yeah, I mean, it's either 24 or 25 based on my calculations, and I don't quite know the answer to that other than that seems like a lot of time off. I don't know what the right number is, if it's 14 days or 18 days, but that certainly does seem like a long time away from the game for me. You know, almost to the point where you would worry a little bit about the speed of the game when you get back. I guess there are some things they could do in practice, you know, to try to make it a little bit more game-like, you know, a little bit faster. But I think that's a – I think it's fair to have the question you just asked, and I'm not sure really what the answer is. I do know, like, I've thought about this a lot. Anytime I played late in the season, including that game against the Steelers backups that we always talk about, you know, I just wish I would have felt a little bit better. So I'm fully on board with anything that helps players healthier and feel better and all those things. I think that is the right decision. But I do think there's something to be said for that long of a layoff. Now, that being said, you know, if the seeds held, they would play the winner of the 4-5 game. Let's just say that's the Texans against the Steelers. I don't think either one of those teams would be good enough to really take advantage of that. You know, in other words, I made the comment, my buddy who I'm with, his family, he's a big Steelers fan. He's from out there. And, you know, it feels like the Chiefs. I said, would you rather have the Chiefs or the field? But to me, and he said field, but it feels like the Chiefs only have to win really two games of consequence in my mind to get to to win the Super Bowl again, which is doesn't really seem altogether fair to me, but they've earned it.
I guess you can't say they haven't. 15-1. Ross, what do you think of Denver? So the Broncos are somewhere around 80-85% to be the Bills' first round opponent. If they beat Kansas City in that spot, they will be. Are they dangerous or no?
I would say no. I mean, do I think that them beating the Bills is within the range of possible outcomes? Yeah, but I would say it's pretty low. I would think the Bills would be a pretty heavy favorite there. I would think the Bills would win that game at home, I don't know, 95% of the time. You know, now there's always the 5%, and you never know, and maybe they lose, but I would feel pretty good about the Bills in that game if it's against the Broncos. In fact, I think I'd rather play the Broncos than anybody else. I think I'd rather play the Broncos than the Chargers with Justin Herbert and Jim Harbaugh. I think I'd rather play the Broncos than even the Steelers right now. I think that's, as far as first-round matchups go, is a favorable one. I mean, think about the flip side. You know, you guys know I live outside of Philly and do a lot of Eagles stuff. You know, the Eagles, it looks right now like they're going to have to play the Green Bay Packers. I mean, yeah. They might play a 12-win Green Bay Packers as the 7th seed, which is pretty wild if you think about it. I'd much rather play the Broncos than the Packers, let's put it that way.
Do you think Barkley should sit this week, 2,005, 100 yards away, playoffs too important? And this is another one where I'd wonder what kind of power, so to speak, the player would have in the decision.
Yeah, I mean, he seems kind of indifferent about it.
Okay.
It's been interesting reading the quotes of some of the other players. You know, A.J. Brown is my favorite. I think A.J. Brown had one quote where he said, listen, I'm his teammate. I want to be there and say I helped make history. I want to see him do it. But then he also said he wants to rest. He doesn't want to play. which I thought was great. Lane Johnson, the stalwart right tackle, has been pretty clear that he feels like he could really use the rest. I don't think the Eagles are going to go away from that, right? Like, if you've got veteran players and they feel like they could use the rest, I highly doubt they're going to put, you know, those guys out there that don't want to play just so this other guy, you know, can maybe break a record. I mean, he probably would, but I don't know. It sounds like Saving Private Ryan stuff to me. You know what I mean? Like, having everybody do all these things to save this one guy. I don't think that's going to happen. And I think it's the right decision. You know, I don't think, Mike, if they were going to go for the record for Saquon, I don't think they would have given him 31 carries on Sunday to break 2,000.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
good point.
It seemed like that was the deal. Like, let's make sure we get him 2,000. That's a very special milestone. Although I did say, you know, this week, and I'll repeat it here on the Ross Tucker Football Podcast, I do think records are not quite as individual as people might think. People make them out to be very individual awards, but, you know, the offensive line, the O-line coach, you know, they all took a lot of pride and a lot of ownership of Saquon hitting that 2,000 mark. And it's funny because part of me said, well, yeah, but it's 17 games. He's like 30 carries less than Dickerson. So he could easily break the record in less carries than Dickerson had, which I think is the more important number as in terms of how many games.
OJ in 14, and I remember talking to linemen from that team, most of all Joe DeLaMalier, who would always say, like, we looked at that as our record, and so did OJ. Like, Joe liked that OJ would always give the line the credit. Like, this is a team achievement, 2,000 yards in 1973. I know you have to run quickly. Do you have to love the Lions? How about Campbell, the fourth down stuff? Didn't need the game, 40 points last night. Pretty cool.
Yeah, I mean, it's very cool unless you're a Lions fan and somebody got hurt. You know, like, in hindsight, it's really cool. And I think today on my betting show, Even Money Betting podcast, my co-host Steve Fezzik said that that the Lions made a mockery of the NBA last night. You know what I mean? Like, NBA, these guys all don't play back-to-backs and management, all that stuff. Meanwhile, the Lions out there in a game that means nothing are doing laterals and touchdowns. I love the Lions. I love their fans. I love the Bills. I love their fans. Nothing would make me happier than a Bills-Lions Super Bowl. That would absolutely be incredible. You know, obviously, Eagles would be very, very cool as well. But, I mean, Bills-Lions would be – I would just be so, so happy for those fan bases. And, of course, I would root – I would hope the Bills would win because I think the Lions fans, you know, just getting there would be amazing. They're for the first time in their life ever. Meanwhile, for the Bills to actually get over the hump and win it would be incredible. I was happy to see the Bills defensively play better against the Jets. Obviously, they need that.
Ross, thank you very much. Happy New Year. Enjoy your break. Relatively short, but it should be great.
Yeah, likewise. I'll talk to you guys next week.
Thank you. Ross Tucker on the Wester Hotline, Odyssey NFL Insider. Insider calls brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. May your game day be delicious. That's what it says to say. 803-0550. I'll be here for your calls the rest of the hour. If you've got them, it's New Year's Eve. I don't know. Maybe you're just sort of getting ready for tonight. I think I would be. But I'm here for, you know, the next little while here. And there's still so much that's so interesting. Detroit, it is always that way. It is always that way. It's always as long as you don't have that injury. It's fun. It's cool. It's wild. People appreciate I don't want to say the manliness or anything like that, but like it's sort of aggressive the way they play, and it puts a smile on your face if you're not a fan of the other team or a rival of theirs, obviously. But you have that one injury, and like I said about the Bills and their situation here for a few weeks, there's rhythm, there's continuity, familiarity, everything that is to be said that's positive about keeping in your routine, playing your guys. As soon as you lose one important player in a game you didn't need, that just will never be forgotten, I think. So the value in it, it's really tough to quantify. You really can't. What we do is we'll see what happens in the playoffs. This will be true of the Bills after resting Allen for most of this game. This will obviously be true of the Chiefs, and they're essentially 3.5 weeks off is what that turns into. And we'll see how the game goes. And if we ever get back to the topic of rest and that sort of strategy, it'll be decided based on the results whether it was a good move. And there's a pretty good chance that that won't really be correct, that something else will be the reason why your team lost, you know, a tipped pass or a missed field goal or something like that, that you could never, I think, reasonably attribute to rest versus, you know, not. But we'll see. That's really the best we can do, I think. I think you want to, just using common sense, be able to protect Josh Allen and certain stars, you know, Mahomes and Kelsey, whoever else. Matthew Stafford, I guess, is going to rest. Ross was interesting on the different situations between the Bills and the Rams, for example. The thing about the Rams, well, it's two. It doesn't surprise me that they would do it. They could be the three seed. If they win, I think they are. If they lose, they could be the four. If Tampa wins, then I think the Rams would be the four. That's the gamble. McVay was maybe the first guy to just take his best players off the field for the preseason. We're not going to play at all. I remember him for that. He might not have been the first, but the Rams are the team I think of when it's the preseason and when a team just decides not to play their stars. So that's a little bit in kind with this. And I also think, especially if it's Minnesota, because I think Detroit is better than Minnesota, but either way, that is a high-stress game on Sunday night, the Vikings at the Lions. I mean, there is it's a lot on the line there. Imagine if the Chiefs and the Bills played this Sunday night, tied for the chance at the one seed. Like, that's almost what we've got here. And each of these teams would consider it a high priority to win this game. Sunday night even, not Saturday night, not Sunday at 1 o'clock, Sunday night. They know they're in the playoffs, and that's great, but they will want that win. The loser then, if the Rams lose and lose the three seed, come down to the four, the loser of that game is faced with going to L.A., which I think that's a big exhale. Not in a good way. Not in a good way. That's a lot, I'm saying, to have to go all the way to the West Coast in a short week. Maybe that's Monday night. I think it probably would be, which is a little better on the loser of the Vikings-Lions game, but still, long trip after that kind of energy that you use in this Sunday night game. And, I mean, Tampa has to win, unless Atlanta loses. Tampa needs their game, so there's energy there. Everybody else is in the playoffs. You know, like, there's just almost not a lot on the line this week for a final week of the NFL season, except Minnesota and Detroit. The value of the one and the bye and home field versus no home games. The loser of that game is going right on the road immediately. Especially, you know, if that's the Lions, which is a longer trip if it matters, if that's the Lions, think about the season that they've just had. They've been the talk of the league, Detroit. Even through last night, with how they played last night, 40 points, fourth down, all the stuff that they do. They've been like Super Bowl favorite almost for so much of the season, unlike the Vikings. Now the regular season comes to an end and they're going to LA in the first week. And then maybe Minnesota, and then maybe Philadelphia or something like that. Damn. And that's why this game would be so important to those two teams. The difference between two home games versus three road. I mean, yikes. And so if the Rams end up, it's all to say, if the Rams end up playing the loser of that game instead of Washington, Washington might kind of give you happy to be there vibes, but I don't think that's necessarily a huge difference, especially if it's the Vikings for me, but because of the emotions in it, like Washington can chill this week too. I mean, they're in, they're going. LA, whatever. Washington would be just like, bring it on. I'll wrap this up here. Maybe you'll give me a call if you want after the update. That's the one narrative, yes, but that's the Denver element that might be the one that sort of makes you worry a little bit, is when a team is loose. I think that's the Bills lost that home playoff game to Jacksonville in the 90s, 96, and it was a shock. They were a huge favorite. They'd never lost a playoff game at the stadium, and Jacksonville, like, almost an expansion team, happy to be there. All the different ways you could have just expected the Jaguars to just not be the difference in experience, like, just to not be on the Bills level. And, like, I don't know, you're Jacksonville, you're like, what do we have to lose? And so that would be Denver, and I think that'll definitely be Washington in these playoffs. And after all that, I'm not sure the Rams are really good anyway. So it's just it's not necessarily a big, I think it's fine for them to rest their guys, because the downside of it is getting that Vikings-Lions loser, which I guess I'm saying I don't think is so bad. 803-0550 if you want to join me. So much different football to talk about. The Sabres play tonight, pregame at 7. It is New Year's Eve, and I'm glad to be with you. This is Mike Shope on WGR.
I'm here to tell you right now, I hope Cincinnati makes it because, hey, Buffalo, congrats on your awesome season and your MVP. You have Cincinnati coming to town week one. Have fun. Now, that would mean the Chiefs would have to play Cincinnati in round two. I'll sign up for it. If the tax of having Buffalo just kicked out of the playoffs is you got to play Cincinnati, no problem. I'm out here. Guys, I've always been a Joe Burrow guy. I'm a Bengals guy now. It's my another team. Bengals guy the rest of the way. I'm just telling you, the rest of the way.
You would rather play the Bengals?
Than the Bills? Yeah.
All right, Nick Wright, for your listening pleasure. Happy New Year. Mike Shope here. Tim is with us. Hi, Tim.
Hi, Mike. I just wanted to mention with the talk of this great game coming up to end the season, Detroit against Minnesota.
Yeah.
It's actually not the most consequential season finale of all time in the NFL. 1967, the second year of the Super Bowl era, the NFL had expanded to 16 teams, and they went to four conferences, and this was the second year of such. And the last game of the season was the Baltimore Colts against the Rams, and Baltimore had beaten the Rams earlier in the season and were undefeated, and that was the Rams' only loss. The last game of the season they played, and the Rams beat them. And they both finished, I believe, 11-1-2. And the Rams made the playoffs. Baltimore didn't even get to go to the playoffs.
Wow.
And as it turns out, Green Bay was having a down year. They were 9-4-1 that year. They won their conference, their division, but they actually killed the Rams, and they went to their second Super Bowl and destroyed Oakland. But if you look back at that season, it's amazing to look at, because the very next year, Baltimore went 13-1. And, of course, that was the year they were supposed to destroy the Jets.
In two seasons, they went a combined 24-2-2, had one playoff appearance between them, and then lost the most famous game in sports history.
I think it's amazing. I was only 3 at the time. But going through a compendium, I was looking at the seasons, and I saw that, and I was like, and I had spoken to guys that were a little bit older than me, and they knew this at the time, but you'd have to be close to 70 probably to have any real great memory.
I do love it. What was the tiebreaker if they split? Do you remember that?
I heard it was a gentleman that I brought it up to that's a little bit older than me. He was like, he couldn't wait to look it up again.
Oh.
He said it was literally came down to 7 point point difference.
Okay, I'm seeing here, Tim, that the first meeting was a tie. So it could have been that, or it could have been that the Rams went 1-0-1 against Baltimore.
That you could be correct. If I were home, I would have had the thing reference ready for me because I would have been.
It's okay.
I was in the car, so I couldn't quite. But I thought, I mean, can you imagine being undefeated and then you're not in the playoffs?
Yeah, it's more like it reminds me of like sort of the old bowl game days where you could have two undefeated teams. And, or I don't know, maybe that doesn't quite work. I mean, somebody could be playing for a national title.
Somebody gets left out, but to actually play that game and have that happen. I just thought I would mention it just in case anybody's interested in NFL history.
Love it. Thank you. I'm glad you did. Happy New Year. It's been kind of that kind of day with Brad coming on. We talked about some old Bills playoff stuff with Sal, too. So it fits right in. You're definitely right to say that's more consequential. You go to the final game of the season undefeated, and because you lost, you don't even make the playoffs. Somebody was tweeting about wild cards during that game in 1967, I'm sure. I'm sure Twitter was all about how unfair the system was. Fix it. And they did. Here's Pete next. Hi, Pete.
Hey, thanks for taking my call.
You got
it. I have a question. If Pittsburgh wins on Saturday, what would the Chargers have to play for on Sunday?
Let's see. So Pittsburgh goes to 11-6. Would the Chargers be able to pass Pittsburgh? No. So I guess maybe nothing.
Yeah, so I guess like the way that's how I'm seeing it too. So wouldn't that give the Chargers a 1 week rest advantage over Baltimore in the first round?
Sure. Yeah, conceivably. The Chargers could look at this that way anyway, regardless of Pittsburgh's result, you know, depending on how they feel about the 5 versus the 6.
Well, I can't imagine they'd rather play, I guess, who would that be?
Baltimore?
Houston?
Baltimore over Houston? I guess if the Steelers win, that's your scenario, then they're locked in on 6. And if the Ravens had won their game, it would be against the Ravens. Otherwise, it would be against the Steelers.
Yeah, I guess I'm just assuming that the Ravens are going to win against the Browns. I don't know. The way I view it is, if the Chargers have a one-week advantage of rest, I mean, to me, that's huge. I mean, you see it in the Thursday games when teams have, like, two or three extra days. I mean, to have an entire additional week, I mean, that's massive.
The rest of it is, you know, as we think this through, I mean, the Chargers will fly – where are they this week? Raiders, Vegas. So that'll be a long trip east if it's Baltimore or Pittsburgh in the first round. I think that'll be a Saturday game, too, maybe Saturday night to benefit the Chargers a little bit. And, you know, so there's that. But the Ravens, the way you're talking about that game, and I would be likewise, as a 17 or 18-point favorite, they might be able to rest the second half anyway to mitigate that. Yeah. That disadvantage. Well,
let's hope Jameis plays.
Yeah, I guess. Thank you, Pete. Happy New Year. I said yesterday with Sal, just threw out a take that the Chargers will win two playoff games. And I could see it happening, and you're going to want this to happen. I'm telling you now. I could see it happening either going through Baltimore or Houston in that first round. And maybe the caller's point about rest, It would seem to help this argument if they do get a little bit of an advantage from this. If they play Pittsburgh and the 3 and the 5 flip, if Baltimore were to lose somehow, that doesn't look so bad for LA at 6. And then I think if I'm in Cincinnati, we talk a lot about Cincinnati. There's Nick Wright, great, good stuff. There's a 5% chance the Bengals get in here. I mean, if Denver were to lose Sunday, that would be incredible. 11-point favorites at home, playoffs on the line against the Chiefs, who might have beer, you know, kegs stacked on the sideline or something, you know. Just, that would be incredible. We do have the 2004 Bills example with the Steelers. Like, that happened. Even with a pick six, the Bills lost that game. You know, the kind of thing that if you knew any 11-point underdog won outright, was there a free touchdown and a turnover? But in that game, the Bills got that and still got beat. Anyway, the Chargers at the Texans, like them. The Chargers at the Steelers, like them. The Chargers at the Ravens, I don't know. The Ravens and the playoffs, that's shaky, or it's been shaky. And L.A., for whatever it's worth, has won there in the Jackson era. It's not Justin Herbert, but I could kind of see it. And I think for the Chiefs, again, Denver wins on Sunday and Denver's the 7. I don't think Denver is scary. And the Bengals are out in this scenario. I don't think Miami is really scary. I think the Chargers are a real test for the Chiefs. And they have been one every time. They've lost most of those games, but those are not comfortable games for Kansas City. This last one came down to the last kick and the field goal got banked in, or else they're losing. So look up Chiefs Chargers. I mean, these are all close games. Two this year, that's not great for Kansas City. And so that's the path you want. You want, whether that's LA or it just happens that I said yesterday, you get Pittsburgh and Baltimore. I think that that's a game Pittsburgh might feel pretty good about, given their history with the Ravens. And then Bills beating Denver, that's not the same situation with Kansas City, but it takes Baltimore out. It's a different point. I think LA is interesting in these playoffs. If you're drafting playoff best ball at all in fantasy, LA is kind of it's cheap. I mean, you can get those guys real late because nobody's expecting them to go deep. Happy New Year. I'll be right back. This is Mike Shope on WGR. Christmas songs, a lot of different opinions. New Year songs, this one. That's it. Next. Case closed. Happy New Year. Mike Shope here. Bulldog is back with me on Thursday, I think. Today's Micah Hyde's birthday, New Year's Eve, and it was announced yesterday by Sean McDermott that Hyde will not get the call up for this game. that subject and many others with Sal Capaccio coming up from our chat from earlier at the top of the hour. Today or last night is kind of the end of the fantasy football season. My son has a week 18 game in his league. You know, he's young, but come on. And I'll just share with you, not that you ask, but like everybody in my life, including myself, thinks the amount of fantasy football I play is insane. And they're not wrong. And I am very contemplative about it. Like, just, it's kind of my only hobby anymore. And I feel a little bit trapped because I'm enjoying being kind of a figure in the fantasy space and doing podcasts. And I like that world. But I'm also, like, consumed by it. And that's because, like, that world I speak of is, there's so much, so many people are playing so much volume that absolutely dwarf mine. Like, anybody that I'm in a conversation with outside of that fantasy world, so to speak, can't believe 237 leagues. That does not even come close to many of my peers in fantasy, how much they play. The winner of Best Ball Mania 5 on Underdog, which is a $25 entry, won up $1.5 million. Shows you how many teams are in it, over 600,000. He entered 130 teams. The max is 150. Guys I know, they should just call it maxed out. They max out the tournament. 150 teams at $25 each, you know, $3,000, $4,000, whatever that is. And maybe that's not the right number, but it's a lot. And like I work half days, kind of, and I don't even have time for that, not to mention the cost investment. The main event, so you might know, I've talked about them a lot. They were on the show once, or friends of mine, the guys from Buffalo who won the, at least previous to Underdog's rise, the biggest fantasy football tournament there is, $1 million up top. They won it 2 years in a row, which is insane. I love it. I don't come close to approaching the volume that many of these, I don't know about those guys, it wasn't this many teams, but that a lot of these players play. This year, the main event champion entered 27 times, which is allowed. You know, there's a limit, but it's not that low. These are $1,500 to $2,000 leagues. So this person poured $41,000 about into that one tournament. And of course, there's tons of crowd. Everybody I know is playing in all of them. So, like, I have to figure out how to navigate, because in real life, how much I play is nuts. It's a lot of money. It's a lot of time. And it's come at a sacrifice of, like, sort of a healthy living kind of thing. You know, I feel like I need to change this. I also think that I can't win, because there's just so much more, so many more players are playing so much more than I am, giving themselves so much better odds. And like, it's kind of a lonely feeling. So that's what a lot of my, it's New Year's, right? Resolutions, changes, reflection. This is a big one for me. I got to figure out how to enjoy it, how to stay in it, but how to just not get destroyed because of the relatively little volume I'm playing. I guess if I'm going to look at it as not playing enough, I could cut way back and that would still be the case. But anyway, that's how that went. The season ended last night. Eric Wood sadly did not get home, as Jahmyr Gibbs had a huge game. As I mentioned, my chat with Sal here coming up. We talked about Sunday, but also some different things earlier. Hope you enjoy it. Happy New Year. This is Mike Shope on WGR.